Whether a father recognizes or not, dads exercise an unusual amount of influence over their daughters' lives. Here's Michelle Watson Canfield.
When we as daughters can see our dad sit mesmerized for over 2 hours during a football game, like without missing a beat, but we come in and after, 2 minutes, he's already looking off, that's giving her a message that you're just not interesting enough to capture my attention. And I guarantee that is the recipe for disaster outside of your home.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are David Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. You can find us online at familylifetoday.com. The time you spend today as a dad investing in your relationship with your daughter will pay dividends in the future that you can't even begin to calculate. We're going to talk more about that today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. At some point, and I didn't do this for very long, but when our kids were little, there would be these stories, these moments, episodes, conversations that would happen that I would go, I need to keep a file of this. I would get out my computer and I would just start typing in these stories. And one that I remember, my daughter Katie was about 5 years old at the time, and Marianne's mom was going to go into the doctor to have, there was some kind of a growth inside her nose that needed to be removed. And we didn't know at the time, is this benign? Could this be something more serious? So at dinner that night, I just said, hey, guys, we need to pray for Grandma. She's going to go in and she's going to have a growth removed from inside her nose. And we just need to pray that it all goes well. Well, a five-year-old doesn't understand a growth inside your nose. So Katie said, because it might be a pimple, right, Daddy? And I said, well, we're not sure what it is, and it could be serious. And Katie was like, because it could grow a root and then get bigger, right, Daddy? And
these
I said,
are interesting.
How she's processing this in her five-year-old brain. And I said, well, not exactly. And she said, and if it got real big, it could like explode, right, Daddy? Oh, so I'm imagining, what's my five-year-old thinking Grandma's nose is going to look like? What's going to happen? And I finally just said, we just need to pray that she's going to be okay. But Katie was pretty regular with, she'd say something and, right, Daddy? Right, Daddy? Right, Daddy? There was always kind of that looking for affirmation. I was thinking about that this week as we've been talking about the connection between fathers and daughters, the need for that bond to be strong, the power of that bond. We've got Michelle Watson Canfield joining us again on Family Life Today. Michelle, welcome back.
Glad to be back, joining you.
This is your lane, as you've said. This is what God has put on your heart to coach men in this area. And for more than a decade now, you've been involved with a project, you call it the ABBA Project, mm-hmm. to get together with men and say, here's how you can strengthen the bond with your daughters. I'm just wondering, are these dads who are coming saying, it's broken, I need you to fix it? Or are these dads who are coming and saying, it's okay, I just want to make sure it stays okay?
All of the above.
Okay.
Many of them have estrangements with their daughters, estranged relationships, and then all the way up to ones that just say, I want to kick it up a notch and enhance it, strengthen it, reinforce what we already have.
Do many come saying, my wife wanted me?
Oh, yeah.
They do. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You have been in private practice as a counselor for years. You've written actually two books on this subject. The first book is called Dad, Here's What I Really Need From You, and then
I love that title, by the
isn't
way.
That a great title?
It's just like, this is it. And it then picks up the book and is like, oh, this is what I need.
Well,
to
what's
get.
Interesting on the cover, the way it's written, it looks in bold, it says, Dad, I need you. Mm. You just
That's
see that.
Good.
And then the second book is how to have conversations with your daughter that will unlock the relationship in some fresh ways. That's the goal behind all of this, right?
Exactly. Is to help you as a dad decode your daughter, because on the best of days, she doesn't make sense to you. But the more you can get her talking, she will not only understand herself better, but you'll understand her better.
And is there a common issue, like if you had 10 dads in a room, from the good to the hurting, is there one thing that you would say, if we can get these dads to understand this one thing or to develop this one skill, we've unlocked the whole deal?
it's more complex than that, right? I think sometimes men are like, give me the one thing.
Right.
And I'm like,
Anne and I
have just been saying, we have so many different conversations in our head happening simultaneously that we're like, okay, it's not really one thing. But if I had to summarize it, I really go back to what God himself said in the word is that it's the hearts of fathers who have to turn. And often I've asked myself, like, what does a heart turn look like? Have you ever had someone say, hey, can you turn your heart over here? No, we say head. Like a parent, hey, you look at me when I'm talking to you. Turn your head this way. But God used language on purpose because it's so, to me, unique. What does a heart turn even look like?
You better answer that question.
Well, and again, this is just obviously my opinion. Someone else might have a different view. But that a heart turn is softer. It's gentler. It's more emotional. It's more intuitive. It's more connected. Right? It's not just data and information. And as daughters, we love it when our dad turns his head towards us and helps us fill out a FAFSA or a college application. Or, you know, I love when
Katie saying, right, Daddy?
Right, Daddy?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I've loved when my dad's helped me, you know, figure out which car should I buy, goes with me. That I call more of a head turn. It's information data-based. But yet a heart turn is a whole different skill set, as we've talked about already. And that's where not only do we need the power of God to do it, but if dads can just have that in their kind of in their mindset, in their grid of, I want to engage every day my daughter's heart. I want to engage her heart. You're going to grow as a result.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is true or not, but when I hear you say that, I think you could turn your head by just observing someone. As a man, and again, a woman probably does too, but I can watch somebody and see, oh, they're lacking this. It's a data point. I can see it, but I can't turn my heart without hearing their heart. Mm-hmm. And I can't turn my heart without conversation. I don't think you can just observe.
You're right. But I love how you just said, Dave, that you turn toward her. So you're right. It means active listening, reflective listening, which means you nod your head up and down. You say, Your eyes are looking at her. And the truth is, when we as daughters can see our dad sit mesmerized for over 2 hours during a football game, like without missing a beat, but we come in and after, you know, 2 minutes, he's already looking off and seems bored, that's giving her a message that you're just not interesting enough, right, to capture my attention. And I guarantee that is the recipe for disaster outside of your home.
Yeah, and I think as men, we think, well, I understand football. I get what's happening. I know what the goal is. I know the strategy. When she starts talking.
With these
talking,
players that I don't even know.
I don't understand. Mm-hmm. I understand first and 10.
Right.
I understand second and 13 and a spread formation.
What did you say? Something in 13? I literally don't even know what you just said.
Exactly.
So it's the same thing. If I want to learn the language of football, I'm going to go sit there. I'm going to study it. I'm going to learn the phrases.
Oh,
and
that's
really, that's
good.
What I sought to do with this book is, hey, Dad, I think if you ask the question this way, like if you say to her, what words have I spoken to you that have stuck with you, that have made you feel better about yourself? But then you say, what words have stuck with you? Have I spoken to you that have stuck with you that have made you feel worse about yourself? If you can make amends now, you're not going to have now an adult daughter who's still living with the messages in her head that you may not even remember you said, and you maybe didn't even mean to say it that way, but she's still replaying it. In fact, in the ABBA project, I've often asked men, how many of you are married to a woman or were married to a woman that you would say is still carrying what you would call father wounds? Mm. And every hand goes up.
I was going to say, are there any that don't have those wounds?
No. In fact, this is a great segue to, I'd love to just read a section of Jeremiah 8. And this is verse 18, where Jeremiah is reflecting the heart of God as a father, right? In the way as a prophet, he's feeling the grief of what's going on in Israel. And here's what he says. My sorrow is beyond healing. My heart is faint within me. Behold, listen, the cry of the daughters of my people from a different land. A couple verses later, for the brokenness of the daughters of my people, I am broken. I mourn. Dismay has taken hold of me. And then here's the question Jeremiah asks. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? You know what's interesting? Is Gilead was the pharmaceutical center of the day. Hmm. Balm was made in Gilead. So that question really was somewhat rhetorical. No, there is balm in Gilead. There are physicians there. But here's what he finishes with. He says, why then has not the health of the daughters of my people been restored? Aren't we still, in a way, having the same conversation now that Jeremiah was having then? But here's the really cool thing, you guys, is if you fast forward then to the last verse of the Old Testament, where God knew he was signing off for 400 years, he knew there was going to be a big lack of communication for a while. He closes with a very powerful answer to this by saying that he will help turn the hearts of fathers to their children and children to their fathers. And if that doesn't happen, what does he say? I will strike the land with a curse. We do not have to look far, do we, to see the effects of the curse. But we know that God's heart is for daughters to be healed. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
And God will apply the balm of Gilead through fathers in the power of Elijah. And you want to hear another really cool thing? You heard me talking about how I was reading in Luke 1:17. In that verse, in Luke 1, John the Baptist picked that up to help turn the hearts of fathers. So we see this theme where we learn that the balm, how the balm of Gilead will be applied to daughters is through who?
Fathers.
So dads, even if you don't feel qualified or competent to help heal the heart of your daughter, the truth is, the more you take time to stop, slow down, listen, engage her at a heart level, you will be literally changing our country from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we have healthier women,
yes,
we will have a healthier America.
Maybe a husband, maybe you're married to that wife who's carrying those father wounds.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something he can do to help his wife?
Oh, that's a great question. As we know, within the body of Christ, right, we can be a herder or we can be a healer. And so as a dad, as a man, the more you have that mindset, I mean, how important, back to sports, is the mindset, right? It's your mindset has everything to do, right, with the action you take on the field or on the court. It's the same with fathering. So whether or not it's your wife who's carrying father wounds, you get to be a conduit of the father's blessing. God is a father to her, to affirm her. And the truth is, if there's been a wound, you're going to need to say more and do more to affirm. Again, it's not up to you that if she doesn't believe it, it's your fault. Because really, that healing, that balm from Gilead can only come from God as a father ultimately, right? We get to partner in the miracle. But God is saying he is going to turn the hearts of fathers. He's the ultimate one who's giving her love. So dad or husband, I would say, if you were to even on the mirrors, we talked about that, of your daughter's life, I've had women, wives say, I wish he would do that for me.
Yes.
I want that on the mirrors in my bedroom. And I've had many dads, many men start doing that there. Affirm her with scripture. When you say, you know, you are beloved, you are my delight, you can take actual verses and put them with her name in it.
Chase, you could go through Proverbs 31.
There you go.
And just go through. There's so many verses.
Hey, Bob, are you listening to this?
I'm taking notes right
talking,
over here.
But they're talking to us.
I know exactly what they're saying.
When I was reading through your book and looking at the questions, I thought, every one of these I could do with Anne.
Yes.
She would love it.
I'm
looking at this chapter, dad-daughter date number 19, questions on longing for romance and royalty. Number one, do you remember dressing up like a princess as a little girl? Did you enjoy it? If you didn't, why not? She would love me to ask her that.
I would.
You know, this is my daughter, this is my wife, but this is connecting
to my heart.
Heart to heart. So it's not just a manual for fathers and daughters. It's a manual for marriage as well.
And for moms who are stepping in, sometimes having to step into a dad role.
Mm.
And I've had women tell me, I can't find any men to invest in my kids. Like, I don't know where they are, but I don't have them in my family. And the church doesn't seem to have anybody that has a margin. Mm. And I'm saying, Mom, I understand that is heartbreaking for you.
And to encourage them to say, but God the Father.
There you go.
Is your Father.
Bingo.
And he sees, he cares. And so you're kind of always reminding them of that.
Yes. And even in this book, if you as a mom want to lead your daughters or your sons in talking more about these issues, they're, again, on all kinds of topics, from everything from fun, lighthearted things to, you know, suicide and cutting and depression and same-sex attraction and sexual harassment and assault. I mean, things that sometimes dads are like, okay, that's a little too intense for me. But if you've got a guidebook in front of you that you can read the question, it helps kind of break up the intensity because you can look down when you feel nervous.
Yeah.
And then I say, I know your daughter didn't come with a playbook, but you're going to write one.
And you've done a lot of research.
Yes.
Talk about some of the research that you found.
You know, there's really powerful data in the research that shows that daughters, this is true for sons as well, but I'm going to say this specifically to daughters, but daughters who feel connected to their fathers. Did you get the, is that a heart word or a head word? I'm going to quiz you, Dave.
That's a heart word.
It's a heart word that they feel the connection to their
fathers. That's a word we're just afraid of, by the way. Feelings.
So we're saying, everyone listening, repeat after us. Feelings. Okay, you did it and you live to tell about it. But really, when a daughter feels connected to her father, every area of her life is enhanced and strengthened and better. She's going to get better grades in school. She's more likely to finish high school and attend college, lower rates of substance use, greater self-esteem, less depression. She will delay sexual activities. Okay, come on, men. Do I hear an amen there?
Yeah.
I mean, who would have ever thought that a dad-daughter relationship was one of the strongest contraceptives we could have?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do not hear anyone talk about that. Do you?
No.
No.
But the dad-daughter bond is the fail-safe way to ensure that she will delay having sexual activity. There's also less teen pregnancy. Again, this all ties to the research with dads and daughters bonding. She will also have more pro-social empathy. Okay, come on. When have we needed that any more than now? She will be more likely to find steady employment. On and on it goes. Less body dissatisfaction. You know, you and I were talking before about that message in our head that we're fat. I mean, I still have that message now at 60.
Too.
I wish it went away. But here we are both in this season of our life going, I don't want to believe the lies, but that stupid father of lies just seems to love preying on where I'm most vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
So as men, when you speak words of life, you are truly representing God as a father to the women in your lives.
Man, you have so much power.
Yes.
I hope that ignites your soul of seeing like, oh, yes, like I want to step in and step up to that.
Okay, but we just need to acknowledge here that in those times when we will say to our wives or our daughters.
I know what you're going to say.
We will say, you know what? You really look beautiful.
Yep.
And what does the wife or the daughter say?
No, I don't.
Right.
Yep.
What we hear is, that was the stupidest thing you could have ever said.
And it didn't make any difference, so I won't say it again.
So we're not going to try that again, right? And I know we should be smarter than this and go, no, this is your inner thing talking, and you're just saying, please say this again to me.
Yes.
Please make me convinced.
No, I'm not, but please tell me again and again and again.
I know that, but after a while, as guys, it's like, okay, I'm not going to say the stupid thing today, because the last time I said it, it got shot down. So let me just say, ladies, the next time your husband says, you know, you look really nice today, just look at him and say, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that would be a nice thing for us to hear.
I'm trying to get better at that.
Good for you. All right.
Good for you. Okay, Michelle, in this past month, I've talked to three families that have a 16-year-old daughter. They each have 16-year-old daughters that are in depression and anxiety. And I think that this is very commonplace right now. And I had one dad call me and just said, will you meet with my daughter? And so I said, first of all, I think it's amazing that you're calling me. That says so much right there. And he's doing all kinds of things to help her. Is that common and more common right now than it ever has been?
You mean the depression piece?
The depression and anxiety.
Because I wasn't sure if you were asking
the dad
to step in, and I was going to say no. But yeah, absolutely. And you brought this up earlier, Anne, but with the rise of social media, because again, I've counseled teenagers for a lot of years, and I'm amazed at how depression has gone up, I believe, synonymous with social media use.
So you think there's a link?
Absolutely. In fact, I could think of one right now where I'd heard some statistics on the amount of time average a day is something like 5 to 6 hours on social media. We're not talking on the computer for school. I would just encourage dads to, if you have a daughter who's really struggling with anxiety and depression, a place to start is limiting screen time.
And you know that's going to have a lot of kickback from the daughter.
But then here's the key. If you're going to take something away, what are you going to replace it with? Because I heard this great quote from an organization that said, teenagers say, adults are always telling us what to say no to, but they're never telling us what to say yes to. So if you're going to take that away, I mean, I could think of one dad named Dan where he's like, my eighth grader is all self-absorbed and narcissistic, and it's all about her. And I said, I got the antidote. What, doc? What do you have? I said, she needs to volunteer. You don't say, get your eyes off yourself. You've got to engage her in something that gets her eyes off herself. And he goes, oh, that's a great idea. I said, but there's a caveat. You need to do it with her. And he said, not going to happen.
Really?
And I thought, well, that's why, Houston, we have a problem, you know, is dad, if you have a daughter that is struggling with depression, a lot of it's comparison, right? Anne and I speak from experience on this. We always come up short in our minds when we compare ourselves to the popular girls or the ones that are smarter. I mean, I've even thought about that recently where I still remember Stephanie Wilson was the smart one in school. She always turned in her tests before I was even halfway through. But yet now as an adult, I've connected and engaged with some of my high school friends. One of them goes, well, you were always the smart one. I'm like, what are you talking about? But see, if dad is that voice outside her head, affirming her creativity, you know, we talked, Dave, about how do you engage her? Go do a painting class with her where yours looks like a, you know, first grader. Be okay not being perfect. Let her outshine you. That will build her confidence. But you're right that the depression and anxiety are on the rise. Medications for those things are on the rise, where it's really a tough era, as we all know, for kids.
The other thing that's on the rise is gender confusion.
Yes.
And same-sex attraction. And am I really a boy in a girl's body? How much is the father-daughter relationship connected to that confusion, do you think?
Well, and I like that you said, do you think? Because you could talk to anyone in this line of work in psychology, and they would have different takes on this. But I don't know that I can comment exactly on how much is the dad relationship tied to this, but I would say regardless of what your daughter is dealing with, because what I'm hearing is that pretty young now, I'm talking even elementary school, what they're being shown in school is that you need to explore and experiment. And how can you know that you are this gender if you haven't, you know, tried on the other outfit in the dressing room or whatever? And so dads, again, if you can teach your daughters how to think, not just what to think, she will be able to then explain herself, stand strong, stand alone, stand up for herself. And I found for, you know, me being a, you know, Baptist pastor's daughter, I could tell you for a lot of my life what my dad believed. And for a long time, I believed what he believed. Good enough for him.
Yeah.
Good enough for me. But I now look back and say, I wish I would have been taught more how to think.
How do you do that?
By asking questions. That's why in this book, I have questions on same-sex attraction. In fact, I know a dad right now who's, you know, a former missionary, then a pastor. His daughter is gay, and they're now weekly going through this book. But dad said, and she said, both of them together, we don't want to start with the deep end.
Yeah.
We don't want to talk about what's happening right now in your relationship. But let's start with the laughing ones. And then she told me a couple weeks in, she said, Dad, hand me the book. I want to do the questions now about your life.
Mm.
And that helps dad sometimes remember back when they struggled, but they forgot about it because it was, you know, 4 decades ago or whatever. But the truth is, at the end of the day, your daughter's going to do what she wants to do, with or without your consent. She'll just hide it better if she knows that you're disappointed. I've had daughters say her dad's disappointment is a much bigger thing even than his anger, knowing she's disappointed her dad. So a lot of daughters, I mean, sadly, Christian women as well, pretty much nobody's waiting to have sex anymore. And so dads are like, oh, I'd rather not know. Dad, if you don't weigh in on this, every other voice, right, will speak louder than yours. Mm. She may make a different decision. But if you speak to her about these topics, at least she gets to hear your opinion while you say, but I know you're going to make your own decision. I just want you to know I'll love you no matter what. Remember Oreo cookie? I'll love you no matter what. But I just, would you be open to hearing my thoughts on this? And then end with another, you know, positive at the end. Thank you for taking the time to hear me. Mm-hmm. I want to hear you. Mm-hmm.
You know, when you shared that story just a second ago about the dad whose daughter is struggling with anxiety and depression, and you say, go serve. And he says, that's not going to happen. She can do it. I'm not going to do it. I just want to say to that guy, dude, are you kidding me? This is your chance. nobody's going to remember. You're not going to remember in 10 years your job or the cars you drove or the house you live in. And I'm not saying that stuff doesn't matter. We all think it matters. It does not matter as much as your daughter feeling loved by you and cared for you. Do you want to be that dad whose daughter never gets out of depression because you didn't have the time to say, I'm going to serve with her?
Yeah.
Step up. I mean, your whole book is engage. I'm like, engage. She's got her arms up figuratively, and you can be the man God's called you to be. You've got what it takes. Do it. Today's your day. I'm hoping today is the day a dad goes, I'm getting off this couch.
Mm.
I'm going to engage, and
yes,
I'm going to make a difference in my daughter's life. Mm.
And I love how you brought up, you know, think ahead 10 years.
Yeah.
I even encourage dads to go to the end of their life. Mm. This might sound morbid, but literally, what do you want your daughters to say about you when you're gone?
Mm.
And I have a friend who actually, I challenged him, and he wrote his own eulogy. I mean, you know, again, sobbing as he reads this. His daughters are 4 and 2.
Yeah.
But that becomes then a guide.
Yeah. Right.
What do you want your daughter to say about you at the end of your life? And then I call it thinking backwards. Then you work from there.
Yeah.
And if you want to say, I want her to know I loved her, right? We know in goal setting that's too vague. By doing what? By the way I affirmed her. By the way I built her up and supported what she was interested in, or you know, you're going to be specific in those things, but it makes a difference in a dad saying, this is how I know where I'm headed because I've got a goal and I've stated it. Put it up in your office. Put that statement up there to guide you every day to remember why this matters.
And I'm thinking of James 1, just real quick. I mean, think about James 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask who? Of God, who gives generously without reproach.
And the dad who would say, you've given me a few plays, but I feel like I'm going to run out of plays pretty quick. That's what the book's for.
Yeah. Exactly.
The book is a playbook for a dad to walk through. Here's how I can have this kind of engagement. Michelle, this has been so good, mm-hmm. so helpful. Thanks for coming here, and thanks for challenging all of us as men with our daughters and with our wives to step in and to be the affirming presence they need for us to be.
Mm-hmm. And Anne and I are saying, as men, you matter.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
your voice
and we
matters.
Need you.
We need you.
Well, we're grateful for you, and we are this week making your book available to Family Life Today listeners who can help with a donation to support the ministry of Family Life Today. Michelle's book is called Let's Talk, Conversation Starters for Dads and Daughters. You can request your copy when you go online at familylifetoday.com to make a donation, or when you call 1-800-358-6329 to donate. That's 1-800-FL-TODAY. And keep in mind, what you're supporting with your donations is the ongoing discipling, the mentoring that is happening day in and day out. As husbands and wives and moms and dads are connecting with us here at Family Life saying, help me win in the relationships that matter most to me, my marriage, my relationship with my kids. You make this kind of practical biblical help and hope available every day when you make a donation to support the ongoing work of this ministry. And again, when you make your donation today, we'd love to send you a copy of Michelle Watson Canfield's book, Let's Talk, Conversation Starters for Dads and Daughters, as our thank you gift for your support. Donate online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY to donate. The website, familylifetoday.com, or call 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. We have got the president of Family Life, David Robbins, who has been sitting in with us here. And David, I noticed you've been taking notes during this conversation because you're a dad with a daughter at home, right?
That's right. I'm a dad with a preteen in the thick of it. And, you know, what I loved about this conversation is I want to go to my Family Life app, send it to three other dads that are dads of my daughter's classmates, and us have a conversation about them. I think a lot of times, dads, we love in taking amazing content like this and getting the help and having practical biblical help to raising our daughters. This is my first daughter who's hit preteen years. But so often we do that in isolation. And there is something that happens when a few dads start getting intentional together. So I'm going to do that. I want to encourage you, if you're a dad out there listening, go to the Family Life app, look up this most recent series, share it with a few dads, and get a little intentional having some conversations on how you can pursue your daughters and deepen your relationships together.
Yeah, and I've mentioned this before. If you've not yet downloaded the app, it's simple to do. Go to the App Store for your device and look for Family Life as one word. No space between family and life. The app should pop up. It's free to download, and it does make it easy for you to share individual broadcasts or a series like this with friends. So download the Family Life app from your App Store and use that to connect with us on an ongoing basis. And speaking of connecting, we hope you can connect with us tomorrow. Matt and Sarah Hammett are going to join us. Matt is the guy who wrote the song Lead Me. It was a lead singer of the group Sanctus Reel for years. Matt and Sarah speak at our Weekend to Remember Marriage getaways, and we're going to talk about their journey and their marriage and the challenges they've faced and the lessons they've learned. So I hope you can join us and tune in for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch. We got some help from Bruce Goff today and our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.